Welcome to Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, the AARPG's new actual play series using the Dragonbane RPG by Free League Publishing. I'm Nathan, your host, co-GM, and I'll also be playing Brains, the idiot Wolfkin thief. Let's meet my friends and fellow cast members.
I'm Malcolm, your co-GM, and I'll also be playing Corinne Rinesmith, the judgy halfling bard.
Hi, I'm Tyr, and I'll be playing Dane Ringson, a human scatterbrain scholar.
I'm Chris, and I'm playing Sigyn, elfin huntress.
Hey all, this is Anthony, and I play Kurgan, and he wants to remind you,
you should go and get stuffed.
Hello everyone, this is Sean. Now we'll be playing Baylor Banefire, Dwarf Artisan Specialist.
I'm Tim, AARPG's latest temporary double seeker probationary player. I play Quiverwing, the enchanting mallard whose spellbinding plumage shivers like distant lightning on a moonlit night.
Together, we'll explore ancient secrets of a long-forgotten empire, facing challenges and forging our destiny in a world where every castle, cave, and crypt holds the echoes of a bygone era. Get ready for an epic journey filled with laughter, suspense, and unforgettable moments in the Misty Vale.
Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Roleplay Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan, I'm your host. We're playing Dragonbane. This is episode 42. What other things are significant about number 42? Anybody?
Everything.
Is this a Douglas Adams reference?
Yes. Nerds. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for your support. Yeah, so Dragonbane, episode 42, Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem. We've got most of the gang here. Got Sean with me. I've got Chris. I've got Malcolm. I've got Matt. Tyr is changing his diaper right now, and he'll be right back. But we've got no Tim, no Quiverwing tonight. And Corgan has been MIA for a little bit. He's lurking around somewhere.
We lost him in the woods some time back. Who knows what happened?
Yeah. But yeah, he may show up eventually or not. We're not picky. We're happy to have you here. happy to have you watching our shenanigans. And we are in the midst of an orcish camp. Malcolm is running. He is about to throw us into the deep end here. So, Malcolm, why don't you go ahead and take it away and inflict your maximum pain?
I don't think. This will be a very gentle
on
tap.
Baylor.
That's
Baylor. Yeah.
When we last left off, the party had successfully established negotiations and eventually established an alliance with the orcs. They found encamped around the Temple of the Green Totter of Ghana, at least what remained of it. After the ceremonies of the moon was done, they departed with the orcs at night towards the Mirror Lake. In the course of their journey, though it seemed uneventful in the darkness, Baylor spied something. He turned and then saw a mounted knight in black armor he remembered from a previous encounter. But instead of turning away, he drew the sword from Dorman. The knight and turned towards him and spurred his dark steed straight towards the dwarf and the sword of Brahmas. And that's where we ended last week.
Mission over.
Wakes up.
We won.
And we shall begin. We'll start off with the traditional way of starting these kind of things, with initiative cards.
Oh.
All right. I'm jumping right
Baylor will get that 10.
Wait a second. Did the rest of us even see him run off?
I didn't run off.
Yeah. I'm standing right behind you.
Once I finished.
You mean nobody noticed you left the party and went wandering in the woods on your own for this encounter?
Saying, come get me, sure. You demon whore.
I took the sword that's the key to everything and snuck away somehow. The guy who's not okay. The sneaky guy.
Balor. Your card.
Oh, Ted,
wow.
Oh, good call.
That sucks. I mean,
I throw the sword. That's the only other thing I can do that is better.
Darg.
Five.
Ooh, five.
Malcolm, what you didn't know is I drew the sword like an ant to hand it to him.
Who's got nine?
Chris. It's in.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. Son of a bitch.
I swear.
Richard? I mean, brains?
Two. All right.
You can't even count that high.
We're number two. We're
number two. Is this for Dane?
Oh, one.
And for your opponent?
A three. Oof.
And just one?
And an eight. Ooh.
And an eight. Keep your pants on.
Wait, is there more? Are there more numbers?
And one more card. Okay. All right. So we will. It's pretty bad that Tyr, who is not here, is going to. So he may wish to switch with someone. So I will automatically sort of say, if you would like to volunteer to be one, please let me know at this time.
Baylor. Yes.
Okay.
So he can actually just push his Baylor out front.
So, Baylor, you go for one.
Let me get in front of you, my friend, so
Dane
you're not
will
injured.
Go to 10. So
I will protect you all.
Here is what happens, Baylor. As you stare at that knight, as he turns and rides toward you, as he lowers the lance in his hand, and the pennant flapping, as well as his dark cloak moving behind him like screaming shadows as he thunders down the road toward you. The living world becomes pale, almost washed out in color, even in the night, and the mist that was on the ground seems to be even thicker. And soon, the line of orcs that was behind you on the road are no longer there. It is merely you, the knight, and standing to your right, Ursig. That is the armored orc bodyguard.
I look over like...
And he is taking out his morning star and raises his shield. He looks over. He looks over at you.
I don't know how you're here with me. This creature, I say, broker. This apparition showed to before months ago. Its appearance does not bode well. It must be stopped. Is my sword glowing? Is Baylor's the sword?
Yes, your sword does glow.
Oh, the sword of Banefire. I say this. The sword of Banefire will help.
It dims.
Okay, sorry. The sword of Doom. I just change it back.
So you have you drawn the sword. The rider, he is thundering along with lance down, a black knight of, you know, of determination and definitely impossible evil. He is about maybe 12 meters from you at the start. When you, 12 meters, so that's about maybe 36 feet.
So...
Imperial.
Does the horse look supernatural as well?
The red eyes do.
So okay, that's good. That's all I need to know. So this is what Baylor's going to do. So Baylor's going to let that get close, and he's going to... attack the horse. Try and knock the horse, kill the horse till he falls and takes damage.
So you're going to hold your action until
he gets
within
melee. I'm going
to
hold my action, and when he gets there, I'm going to, you know, and I look at the orc and I go, I'm going to try and take the horse out first. You go for the rider.
He just raises his shield and goes, the lance may reach you before then.
Well, I'm a smaller target.
So that will be you are holding, and as for, let's see, I guess we go to two. Now, Brain.
Yeah.
Why don't you give me an awareness roll, actually?
Awareness. I've got a 12 now, as it went up. I rolled a 4.
Then you are aware that Balor has... At first you think he's gone, but then you realize he's there, but he almost seems... he's on the road, but almost semi-transparent. Him and the bodyguard, and one of the bodyguards beside him, almost seem as if they're made of mist.
Yeah, do I see anything else?
You do see what looks like a rider on a horse, thundering, which appears to be like literally just passing through, like a ghost, through the column of orcs that are marching.
Wow.
And as he walks through them, they all seem to sort of shudder as if they've been hit by a cold breeze, but they do not seem to be. He just sort of passes them. And you can tell it's heading for the ghostly version of Balor. You don't understand it.
So, Yeah, having seen ghosts before in the Rittermound, I shout, ghosts! And I run towards the ghost Baylor.
Okay. It is no difficult task to shout and arrive there.
Okay.
The knight. His horse easily crosses that distance in no time. His lance will reach first.
So I got a question, Mal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think of this till now. And this will be like a last second thought for Baylor's too.
It may be.
As the lance is going, this is when he realized he was fucked.
Now, can I strike at the lance and break the lance? I don't know. If there's a mechanism in that game for this.
There is a mechanism for parrying weapons.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be a parry, I think.
So I'd have to parry. Okay.
No, he'd have to parry your attack.
Wouldn't it also be if he got a dragon, it would be one of the actions?
Mm-hmm. So, shall I proceed?
Proceed.
Okay. His lance strikes true.
I will parry.
You move to parry. And Usyk uses his guardian ability and puts his shield between you and the lance. And the lance is struck. Skirts off, but now the rider's lance sort of scrapes across the shield, sparking, and flies up and sort of goes up. And you do now, he's now within melee range where you may choose to strike him.
I will strike him, and I will, just a second, let me figure something out here. Well, let me roll my skill, which is pretty high. Sword, which is 16. I rolled at 18. So I miss.
Push it.
I'll push it. I'll take the, I will take, let's see.
Angry.
Sickly, no. Angry. Sickly. And I rolled 2, so that worked out. So I pushed it. I strike.
He will attempt to parry with his shield and succeed. Roll damage.
Okay.
Well, what type? This is using slashing weapon, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
roll damage.
Okay, I'm going to use spend 3 willpower points doing a massive blow. I activate that after I roll the hit, so it does an extra D8.
Okay. Just so you guys know, shields do not take damage from piercing weapons.
Oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
But they will take it from slashing and so forth, so.
Oh, Jesus, that's awesome. Oh, my God. Wow. Let me roll this D8 and see what happens. I'll tell you in a minute. Don't ruin it, Chris. Don't ruin it. For 2d10, I rolled a 1 and a 1. So that's 2 points. For my D4 strength bonus, I rolled 1, which is 3. But I rolled an 8 on my bow, so I did 11. Thankfully, I used that ability, or I did 3 points. Oh, that's fucking horrible. I am angry.
It works better if you throw it.
I should have thrown it. Actually, I throw it.
Okay. You get past his shield, striking his armor, hitting him.
Oh, good.
But he thunders past.
Fuck.
Undaunted.
What a waste.
So he gets to a point that turns around his horse. So, Corinne.
Where is Corinne, right?
Yeah. I guess she'll try and... Well, actually, she has to make an awareness roll. That's a demon. She has not noticed that anything has happened to you. And is currently occupied. God. Well, you write that down. Demon for her. Great. Sorry, guys.
I'm on 5.
Okay.
And so I guess awareness. Now I have to roll it at a disadvantage because I have a helmet.
Yes.
Were
you wearing a helmet?
A 7, so...
Were you wearing your helmet? Because that's one thing about it. Because Usyk wasn't wearing his helmet. He has it sort of strapped in his back.
Yeah, Dark is... He has an open-faced helm, so it's... So he wears it when he, you know, when they go marching out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's... So he has a 7. So... he and Corinne are clearly talking about something.
But that's not how the song is sung.
But it should be about soup.
But it is how you dance to it.
You know, you could write a song about soup. It's quite, you know, if you just, you know.
Yeah.
So they are discussing having some sort of conversation.
A soup song. All right, and that was 5. The orcs... seem to have noticed that something is obviously happening, at least the rest of the group, and they begin to sort of almost circle and spread out to try and deal with it, but they're not really certain because there is this ghostly apparition storming through, and, you know, and Balor has disappeared, so there's movement of some sort of, you know, some sort of disturbance, but they have no idea how to deal with the situation as far as we're seeing it, with Balor and Lursig having gone ghostly, and there's this ghostly sort of, like, dark demon knight attacking them, but they have no way of trying, they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to do. So they'll wait until they have some sort of, they actually will just fan out around and sort of try to encircle the area. And that's sixes. That is no one on sevens. The demon knight will spirit his horse back towards you again and attack again. The attack he will
so
use.
So Malcolm,
will be,
a question. Mm-hmm. So because he parried, did he use his other action for that to block with the shield?
No,
okay.
He did not.
Sorry, Sean. Trying to hook you up.
That's good job. Good job there.
He turns his horse and looks at you pointing, and he stops, and there he invokes some sort of horrible, dark outer tongue toward you. Hissing. The strange
outer tongue.
Outer tongue.
I'm like, what?
Outer darkness. A tongue of outer. The tongues of outer
the
darkness.
Outer tongue, like.
Okay. Outer tongue.
So there's a tongue and then there's an outer. It's like an alien. It has a tongue and it's and a tongue comes out of the other tongue.
Points towards the party. So literally, I need literally you, Sean, Brains, and Sig, I guess, to give me a fear check.
So,
as it washes through you, even though he's in his ghostly form, it sort of reverberates out, and it seems to also affect the orcs as well.
I'm three.
Midnight do not do so well and begin to panic.
Oh, you don't?
And break ranks.
It'll take more than your outer tongue.
I ain't scared of no ghost.
Good.
Yeah, so the ranks of the orcs that were gathering on break, Usyk, you'll be happy to know, does not alter.
Oh, thank you.
Stay with me.
But this will allow all the players to become aware of the situation now that he has done that as far as his attack. And so, Sig, it is now your turn.
Baylor, what the fresh hell is this?
It's an apparition.
He sounds like he's far away echoing.
I look around frantically because I don't know if I can shoot a ghostly form. But I'm going to try. Yeah, I will go ahead and try and shoot it with an arrow.
Okay.
10, that is a hit. And I will roll...
It passes through and kills an orc.
The Dragon Slayer, which allows me to roll an additional...
D8.
Additional D8 for damage. Okay, so that's a D12, D4, and... So 10. 10 points of damage.
Okay.
I don't know if it counts as undead.
No. It does not.
I want it to count as unalive shortly.
And that's 9. Tens.
10. So
a glowing, shining light springs up to the left of you, almost like the glowing of a sun. And a distinct smell of sulfur. And a melodious voice simply says,
I can help you reach him.
Is it the voice that I've heard before?
Oh, yes, you heard it in the tower.
Oh, it's the other voice. I thought it was Astrid's
voice. No. It sounds like it.
Your best friend is beyond your reach, and now you sit here impudent. I can change that for you. Just say yes.
And you may go.
So he'll touch his circlet before drawing Astrid, and see if he can see where Baylor and the demon knight are.
Because basically the demon knight did his whole entire sort of sound speech thing. There's no everyone's aware of where he is. You can see the demon knight in ghostly form. You can see Balor in his sort of ghostly, sort of shaded form, as well as one of the actual sort of like, you know, one of the orc bodyguards. Apparently, it's the same sort of thing.
Can I reach the demon knight?
He's about maybe 10 meters away. I mean, so what's your move?
My move is, good question, 12.
Yeah, you could reach him, yes. If you move.
All right. I will move to reach him, and I will attempt to hit him.
Okay.
Yes, a 13 on a 16.
Okay.
And
roll damage.
It does impact.
As far as you're aware, it seems to, there appears to be some resistance. It does not feel like a solid hit at all, but just as there's some sort of like, almost like there's some resistance almost there, but.
Okay. Well, I thought with a magic sword, I might have a shot. 10 points of damage.
Okay. He does seem to acknowledge you.
Does the sword glow?
Your asteroid does normally glow, yes. But
well, no, isn't it only glow in the presence of enemies?
No, it's not.
I thought that was the circlet.
The circlet does.
Yeah, the circlet glows.
The circlet is definitely glowing.
And my hammer.
And your hammer is glowing in the presence of demons, yes.
And my axe.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the end of the round. Fight. And we begin round two. Well, that's initiatives. Balor.
Eight.
That's good. You're improving.
Yes, I moved up by two.
Dane.
5.
Darg.
4.
Sig.
7.
Brains.
3.
Corinne and other people.
2.
And the knight.
9.
And 6.
And other allies.
1.
Ooh.
This will be an interesting round.
All right. Well, we'll just deal with the other allies real quick. So Ursig will move to attack the knight. He just basically just takes his morning star and swings at the knight. Hits him. That is a resounding ring of metal, of gunmetal. Bang! But, you know.
Oh, he didn't try to dodge? Okay.
No. And then he didn't try to dodge the bodyguard. And then Ursig will move back to a guarding position around near you. And that's what he does. The rest of the orcs, half of them are still panicked because they had the fear check. The other half are sort of making a circle around and calling for the shaman. And as far as for two, we'll just, you know, Corinne is probably going to try and start singing now. And Quiverwing will begin charging a spell to cast. He's not really sure what to cast on these things, but he's going to try lightning bolt.
Fair enough.
Always go with the old reliable.
But, oh my god. Magical mishaps.
Oh no.
That's this is going like our last fight.
It turns into a bear again.
His magic turns on him.
Did he turn into sodium? That would be sodium knight.
Oh god, that sodium one guy. Knight. One time Al became water soluble.
Yes.
In a swamp.
Oh dear. Okay.
Oh
well.
Dear. That's never good.
Well, you know, I don't recall if he's how old he is. But we'll not worry about
he's
it.
A young
he was a young Mallard.
Well, he's older though.
You know what?
Because didn't
we'll
he
just,
get affected?
No, we'll just say he's dazed, and that's it. We'll
leave it at that.
Right. He was going to age suddenly, isn't he?
He becomes dazed by his attack and is unknown. But Corinne does begin singing her song, but. Anyway. And that's 1 and 2. Okay. 3. Brains.
That's me. All right. So can I reach this thing? Is it close to all of us or no?
Yes, it's in melee with Baylor.
Okay, so, all right.
And Dane.
So it's ghostly horse, right? And
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ghostly horse is a great name for a goth metal band.
Yeah. I'm writing that down.
We've copyrighted that, everyone.
Or Arnold Palmer's Generals.
I mean, yeah. Since it's within melee with all of us, I'm going to try to backstab it.
The horse?
I mean, well,
this
so,
is brain, so I have to ask.
That's, well, isn't so that considered actually, a suppository at that point?
I remember with the warg fight when I ran that, the warg rider and the warg were all kind of one thing, and I couldn't target them separately. Can't Can I target the horse? Or am I targeting the whole package?
Perhaps you should ask the guy who jammed the war rider fight.
Maybe you should try.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm gonna try and take out the horse.
Okay. Horse killer.
Yeah. Fuck that horse.
That horse is my bitch.
We at the ARPGs do not condone damage.
There we go. Fuck
that horse. All right, so I get a boon. It doesn't get to dodge or parry. So I'm using my dagger for this. It's non-magical. Yeah, I mean, 5.
Okay.
Does it make contact?
No, it passes right through it. Okay.
All right, I will yell at it. Okay. Stupid horse.
He does not seem to notice you. Darg.
All right. Darg, is there any sort of improvised weapons or anything laying around? An orc drop anything in their panic? Or
In their panic, nothing that was better than what you already have.
Okay. I guess it's all happening so fast. He'll just try to... I guess he'll try to hit the horse.
Okay.
Yep. All right. He will swing his club. If I roll my skill, does it make it, or do I have to be under it?
You can make it.
Yeah.
As long as you tie your skill or go under. Yes. Okay.
So then, yeah. So I made it. I roll. I have a... Well, let me double check. Yes. I have a 16. I rolled a 16. So I hit. Okay. Does my big wooden stick just go right?
Well, I don't think your wooden stick is magical, so yes, nope, it goes right through it.
All right. Darg kind of like, you know that thing when you see people swing a bat and miss? He kind of like swings, kind of stumbles forward. You know, it's like all in, clanking and cursing in his armor.
Okay. Dane.
It's immune to sticks.
All right, we're at 5?
We're at 5.
Okay, so it noticed me in the sword. Do I think that I hurt it in any way?
Much like, I think it was, well, I guess it wasn't him. I don't know. It you feel, I mean, there was some resistance. It wasn't the same as actually hitting someone. Okay. You think you may have at least, yeah, you somehow may have injured it, but not to your full potential. But yes, you definitely injured it.
Okay. And I'll speak out to the sword. I was like, Astrid, I could use a little help here. And I'll try to attack again.
You certainly could.
It's not who I'm talking to.
I know.
10. Yes, I succeed.
Okay. Roll damage.
I am going to spend... I'm going to spend the willpower and do Dragon Slayer.
Okay. That'd be 3 willpower. Okay.
And that gives me an extra D8, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. 15 points of damage. In my head, that's her helping. He fully believes that that sword is conscious.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Just letting you know.
Once again, you strike. You think you've done better, but not nearly as much as you should have.
Is there any lore on like spectral demon knights that I might remember?
Well, you could possibly, yes.
There's plenty of different lore,
but yeah, you can give me now that you've seen the properties of it, you can give me a myth and legend.
All right, I'll do so. Yes, 11 on a 16.
As far as certain demon or dark fighter knights that have met people, there is this thing that's called the arena realm or something, where they basically, those targets that they have chosen to be their foe in this particular battle or have chosen to see them and have locked eyes, are drawn into this sort of, it's almost like a side realm. It exists within the material world, in the mortal world, but offset by, slightly offset. Meaning it takes a strong, and basically it sort of separates them so they can have their melee and their combat, but also cuts that person off from help and aid, at least immediately. You do know in certain legends that even those cut off could, you know, basically only magical weapons could affect such things, but not nearly as powerful as they could be. And it takes a strong will to enter that realm if you're not eventually initially pulled into it, or to leave it if you wish to.
So by force of will, you might be able to enter the realm.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can try out quickly, he's in a different realm. We have to be able to get our way into it to damage him.
You need to put essence on yourself.
The Demon Knight goes on 6.
I'm ready.
His action will be number 5. He will grab you.
Oh, fuck that!
The knight grabs an unfortunate player and drags him for 2d10 meters along the road, along the ground. Attacks deals bludgeoning damage as well as the number of meters the victim lands prone.
Nope. I'm gonna.
Can he dodge?
Just rub some essence on you. It's fine.
You do understand.
This is dirt. This is not essence. How curse you in your outer tongue. I do not like this.
You do understand that if the monster attack does not offer a defense, you do not get one.
Oh, that's right. You're right. It doesn't.
Yep. You are dragged 7 meters and take 7 points of damage. As you're pulled along the ground.
This is the best you can do?
And let go, and you land prone.
Well, your arm receives some of that, I hope.
It should, hopefully. Yeah. unless someone's wearing crap-tastic armor. Brain.
2 points. I got like a leather.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like you sort of just, you know, grabs you and just pulls you along and then sort of drops you on the ground. So you sort of tumble and he rides past.
So he rides out of my range, basically.
Yes.
Fucking dick.
And that's his number 6 attack. 7.
Yes, so.
Figgin.
I'll shout out, enter his realm. What does that even mean? And then I will twin shot.
Okay. By the way.
Oh, 2 fours, so that's a hit.
Mm-hmm.
So roll the damage separately. First arrow is 6. And second arrow is 14. Jesus.
Damn.
So the first one was how much damage?
The first one was 6, and the second one was 14.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 away from max damage on that one.
One arrow lodges in, the other one falls away.
Oh.
And the other one just sort of slides. the one that sort of falls away almost sort of, you're not sure, but sort of just fell and missed him or just passed through a part of him. You didn't really, you know, the first one. Okay. 8.
So I get up, and mm-hmm. That's it all I can do, really. Is he beyond, because, so getting up, you can only do like a, can you do like a half move or are you just stuck? I forgot.
You can do a move and an attack. We have in the past.
Okay. But is he 6 feet away? Because if he kept riding, he's out of my range. I only can have a movement of 6.
Yeah, he rode out of your range.
Oh, that's it then. So I will just stay there or move back toward the orc.
Okay.
And just, you know, because I don't have a ranged weapon to throw at him.
He's moving towards you too. All right. 9s. The Demonite. He starts to charge, and then he's enveloped in purple flame and disappears from in front of your immediate point of view, and there's a flash of purple behind you somewhere.
I turn and prepare.
And you see him charging. He sort of like teleported some Ooh, distance and then just charging toward you from a different angle.
Oh, yes, you're such an honorable fighter, you loser. You and your outer tongue.
I shouldn't have even brought that up. It's a terrible thing to have written anyway. And that's all he's going to do, is just basically just change his facing so he's coming from a different angle, pulling him away from the most of the party as he charges back in towards you. It lands down. Okay, so new initiative.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, hopefully I don't get an 8 or a 10.
Hopefully not.
9. Watch, it's going to be 9.
Oh, but be a 9. Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, Baylor's been like cursed with these fights in the rest a few times, like with a lot of things.
Baylor. 5.
5. Yeah. Okay, that's not
You're
bad.
You're moving up.
I'm moving up in a world.
Dane.
2.
Darn.
Hey, Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 8. Shoot. Right. Yes. Hey, can I spend 3 willpower points to keep my 4? I'm going to use veteran.
Sure, let me just shuffle and 4 back out here. And put your 4 back there, okay? All right. Sig. 10.
10. 10.
Brains.
8.
NPCs.
1.
Knight.
The NPCs are getting great cards.
Knight.
6. 6. 3 and 6.
All right. Okay, so we will start with the NPCs.
Perhaps they want to switch with one of us.
Perhaps, yes. If you want, you can, I mean, like, Usug will switch with you.
But, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to take a shot at the knight.
Do you want to wait till he closes, or are you going to just...
I'm going to wait till he closes, because, okay. Like, you know. And Kieran, has any, like, song played, it gives us a boon, or...
She's switching songs. She was doing it against him. Now she's just going to do it. Now she's going to do the biggest song.
Okay, for cool. You guys. So I'll wait. I'll wait till he gets close.
And she will barely make a performance roll. So, yes, you guys will now be making rolls at a boon. That's 3 more. Is it 2 more? All right. So we'll go to Dane.
All right. So Dane is going to focus on the feeling of when the sword passed through the knight.
Okay.
And is going to try concentrating and seeing if he could slip through into that world.
Give me a will roll.
Okay. And this is against Will. Okay. And this is at a boon, yes?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to push it.
Okay.
And I am going to take sickly. That works. So I do. I'm a 7 on a 12.
Okay. It's like almost like passing through at the same time, both cold and then suddenly hot. There's a shimmering of purple, and boom, you're in this, you're there. Now, because, I mean, you immediately, the things you see, of course, it's the rest of the world seems to turn pale, like almost like the color is washed out. All the other living beings that were around you suddenly are not even there. Just you, Baylor, the orc bodyguard, and the knight. You can see the sky has a sort of purplish color, and in the far distance there is a semi-organic city you can see.
Okay. Can I do anything else this round, or is that my action?
That is your action, getting in. You can move.
And it's like, Baylor, I'm here!
And he does seem solid and whole.
Yeah, and I'll move. I'll move, and then I'll move closer to Baylor.
Okay. 3. He goes. He will charge. Okay. So he puts the lance down. He will attempt to attack. He will attempt to attack Baylor, the sword builder. He will hit. Ursig will use Thingmer willpower to try and he's his guardian and succeed. And Lance Zinglobe glances away.
Yeah, Ursic deserves a medal.
And he'll ride past.
I'm going to strike.
And he'll ride past. You can strike, yeah.
All right, so I will strike. I'm going to... I'm wondering. And I roll a hit with a roll 210.
Oh, it's an attack of opportunity?
Yeah, for both of you.
Yeah. And then I will activate Dragon Slayer and do an extra D8. Let's see, make sure I do not fucking roll 2 ones. I'm going to use my regular dice.
There you go, says Nathan.
Yes. Oh, still rolled a 1.
And there you go, says Foundry. Yes. The dice give it, the dice take it away.
Oh, okay. 15 total.
Go okay.
With the sword. I hit him with it. I go, fall, you foul creature haunting me.
That does seem to strike, and he's really. He reels a bit.
You!
Hit me on the horse.
Yeah, do I get an opportunity attack?
Yes.
Okay. Also at a boom, yes?
No.
Oh, the song doesn't carry here, huh?
No.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Yes, spot on.
Okay.
16.
Roll damage?
Is that the second time you've done that?
Are you adding any, are you spending any willpower for any special abilities?
Not this round.
Okay.
Oh. 3 points of damage.
Oh,
it's nearly minimum. I rolled a two and a one.
Astrid sparks across his demon armor.
This is fucking horrible damage we're rolling here. Except for
I rolled great when I was outside the realm.
I know, man. It's like
that's okay.
Okay.
That's all right. I'm here now.
You're here now. Everybody's here now. It's all better. Four, Darg.
All right, Darg watches Dane basically like disappear. Right,
he looks at the sword and goes
disappear. And it's like,
yeah.
So
intense Darg, concentration closes
Darg
his
just
eyes.
Looks at like because he can still see like the shadowy shapes that are all like
yeah,
and he's just like I want to be there, and I guess it's what willpower
just a will roll. Yes.
All right. Ends with a boon still because of the song, right?
Yes, since you're outside.
Just
yes.
Singing about soup.
No.
Yeah, I mean, yes, my will. Yeah, I thank you for the boon. That's the only way I made it. So I got a 9. I guess.
Bloop, you're in. So everything becomes the same thing. The rest of the world fades, but this world seems to, you know, everyone who's there and on that side seems to be in sharp clarity. And the sky, though, is here, appears to be a purple color, and there's some sort of melting city in the distance.
Darn will look over at Dane, like a big smile, giant puppy dog smile. He's like, I did it. I thought real hard. I did it.
You did. Did you think of soup?
I wanted to be here.
Oh.
And I'm here.
You should try thinking of soup that hard.
That'll be next round, I guess.
Whole round.
Yeah. Corinne does not make it through. So that's fives and the knight again. On sixes. Oh, okay. So he will come thundering back in. And will strike you with his morning star as his lance just sort of hangs in the air beside him. He sort of
strikes you with it. Okay. That's pretty impressive, that's convenient. Actually. Must be nice.
He will hit you. I will not be spending. I can't spend any more willpower to guard you. You have to do your. Okay.
I will spend the willpower. I don't have a shield, but
okay.
I can. I can spend more willpower to take. Are you really hurt?
I'm halfway.
Oh,
I got 6 left.
You'll be fine.
He did 7 the last attack. So
oh,
sure.
Did he? Sorry, I was away.
He was away.
I'll spend the points for Guardian.
Okay.
That's 2.
All right. And then you for your parry, you have to roll your weapon skill.
Well, I have to pay. Yes, I have to roll my weapon skill. I rolled a dragon.
Ooh.
That means I get an immediate counterattack.
Ooh.
If you read the rules.
Yeah. That's one of the options, yeah.
I just read them a second ago.
Yeah.
And I used the axolotl dice. So a little axolotl face came up.
Just keep it creepy.
All
right. Where'd you get those from?
That's from Misty Mountain Gaming.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, some stuff.
All
right. Have to let.
Don't I get to roll damage at all?
Why is Nathan doing the poison?
I successfully parried, and
yes,
now I make
know.
An immediate.
I have to roll. I have to roll damage anyway, though. I guess.
Oh, okay. Shit. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
The axolotl is a 20, not a 1.
Oh,
oh,
oh shit!
Oh, really? Oh, yes. It's, well, what does that mean? Because it means a critical failure.
Yeah. Oh. So and you can't push those, right?
No, right, you cannot.
Does he take the damage now, or is it just miss?
No, there's a special table.
Oh, it's a melee.
You will take the damage.
Well, they're both going to hit you.
I know. Yeah. You're both going to get knocked out.
Fucking Baylor, why did you bring us here?
His guardian, he failed to protect you with his guardian thing, which basically...
So what happens is he hits your sword, and the sword and the mace hit me.
Let me reread the skill, because it may...
It's funny. The reason I know that is because on the attack that I rolled a 1.
So it automatically attacks.
Yeah, it automatically attacks you. You don't have to do a parry or anything. There's no parry roll for your part, but don't worry about the dragon.
But he failed the parry.
He doesn't need to make the parry for the guardian. Yeah, I was looking at.
But no, he gets the attack though.
He gets to attack. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
So when you use guardian, you're basically just drawing the attack to you. You still have to defend.
Right.
Otherwise, you take the damage.
Which is right. Yeah. So the attack comes to me.
Which you critically fail.
Critically,
all right. That's that's what happened. So, you're gonna be fine, Baylor. Your friend Devon France has done everything possible to try and save you and will pay the ultimate.
So, there is nothing in the parrying section about
rolling a dragon. Where's my demon rolls?
Demon roll melee.
I didn't make a melee attack.
I think it's just a regular demon roll. Like, I would say, like, a skill demon roll. So it's not really that bad.
1.
Damage yourself or someone else, or...
You drop your weapon at your feet, picking it up as an action.
Okay. The one thing that is very frightening about the hit... Well, actually, you didn't parry, so never mind. Just take the damage. It'll be... That's... 14...
Okay, that's bad because that's more than my total hit points.
So you will take 16 points of damage from his Morningstar.
So what's your armor?
Minus your armor.
So my armor is 4, so that brings it down to 12, and I have my circlet, which halves demon damage.
Oh, thank God.
See, you're fine.
Down to 6.
6, that's good because I only have 11 hit points.
That's almost a Corrin killing blow. Of course, she doesn't have your armor or scarlet, so it would definitely kill her.
Wow. What a mess.
Thank goodness I have all of that stuff.
And that's his 6 attack. Okay.
Now, if you're only strong enough to carry that sword...
Does that demon count on my sword?
Hmm?
Does that demon roll count on my sword's advancement?
We could. Yes,
I don't know how benevolent he's feeling.
Yeah.
Well, he just hit me with more of the damage than my whole body has.
All right, so I guess it's Sig. No, sorry,
no,
Brains.
I'm 10. Yeah,
Brains, you're next.
8. All right, so I'm going to swap out my knife for my large shield. So I've got shield and hammer now.
And I'm gonna shield and foe hammer. I mean, like, literally,
yeah, foe hammer.
The demon hammer.
So I'm a
feet. Name is Fiend Crusher.
Fiend Crusher, thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go in and try to smash the demon over the skull with my hammer.
Here's the question: are you gonna try and go to the same realm? You're just going to just rush in there and try
I don't
and...
know anything about...
Okay, yeah, all right. That's what I thought. That made more sense.
Who are you talking to?
Fearless leader leading the way.
Everybody's turned into a ghost except for me. So, you know, I'm just...
I haven't yet, because...
I'm not looking at you.
Yeah.
I'm in melee up with the brave people. Okay, so I've got a 14 on my hammers now. And I rolled an 8. So that'll... I mean, it'll hit, but does it hit?
Yeah, it'll hit.
Right? Not convincing, but all right.
I mean, not attempting any particular defense.
Ooh, that was a good roll. 11 plus 2, 13 points.
Okay. So you strike him in the mortal realm with your fiend smasher, fiend, whatever it's called again, fiend.
Fiend crusher.
Fiend crusher.
Glowing red.
It does. The gem glows red like fire. Like, and there is definite impact. It hits, and there is a spark of both a purplish and reddish flame. Oh, it hits his armor. Oh, you hit the horse. It's still the same effect, sort of. And then, you know, and it, but it just, but, you know, there does not appear to do as much as you think it should. Mm. Nor does he seem to be as shaken as he should be.
Mm.
And you're quite certain that when you struck the horse, you did see he only slightly rose out of the saddle, and it was almost like the stretching of flesh between the two.
You see that? I got him. You're going down, motherfucker.
Figgy.
Okay, well, seeing as how Dane and Darg managed to make themselves ghosty, I make the assumption as to what one has to do. So I just, you know, look up at the stars, close my eyes, concentrate, raise my bow, open my eyes, and see if I'm in the realm.
Give me a will roll.
And I get a one.
You win the realm and you can't attack.
Ooh. I will then let loose again. Let's see. Was Dragon Slayer, maybe? Yeah, I'll do Dragon Slayer again. So, that's an 11 on a hit.
That was a hit. I'm not expecting you. I was going to be expecting you.
Damage. 8. 11 points of damage. A lot of 11s.
All right. That does these arrows. Those seem to hit, and there is a flash of blue light and purple as they hit an impact. It does seem to notice you.
Now does the arrow fall out?
It does not. It stays lodged. And we have another round.
All right. Malcolm, I'm going to pay the 3 to keep 4 as my initiative.
The Darg, you get a 4. Okay. Beller.
1. Ooh, there you go. What a reversal of fortunes.
Dane.
5. Okay.
Fig.
6.
Brains.
Ooh, all right.
Wow.
Wait, 2. Go back to Siggy's card, please. Flip it upside down.
No, fine, sorry.
Son of a bitch. 9.
Oh, so sorry.
Way to help, Tyr.
Blue Falcon.
NPCs. Okay.
10.
The knight.
3.
And
6.
All right. Balor.
I'm swinging.
You will fall.
Oh, I rolled a dragon. Where the fuck do you know? Rolled a 1.
Okay, good. That you know what you did. Good.
Awesome.
I'm going to activate Dragon Slayer as well. I get an additional D8. So what the damage? Is it I roll twice or just double it for the initial damage?
If you, for the initial doubling, the initial damage, you double the doubling of damage. You would roll the damage dice and then add your strength bonus and then after that.
Okay. So, all right, give me a several and then the other D8.
If that's what you choose.
That's what I choose.
Okay.
45 points of damage.
He laughs at you.
Holy crap.
Only now have you begun to understand.
I jam the sword in and just...
He goes, I will use my special
working power to deflect both damage and send it to another ramp. So yes, with using Umdurum, 45 points of damage.
How the fuck do you roll that?
2d10. I rolled 16, a d4 for strength is 20, times 2 is 40, plus a d8, and I rolled a 5. So that's 45.
You don't double your strength damage.
Okay. I thought, do we or don't we?
No.
Weapon damage. 32 plus 4 is 36, plus 5 is 41. So 41 points.
Just so close.
I misunderstood.
So very close.
He's up with one, and he smites
Which
me.
Is hilarious for some reasons, other reasons. But anyway, you, with a death move and a quick slash and a stab.
Wait, isn't the Demon Slayer dice doubled? Because you add an extra die to it.
So then it would be 47 instead of 45. Does it make a difference?
At this point, he's pretty much fucking dead, I think.
At this point, you cleave him and the horse in half.
Yeah, you do sort of like...
I'm tired of you, foul creature!
You do cleave him, and there is a... And he is, he and the horse fall in sort of two split parts. Well, not really separate. It's almost like when you cut him and you cut the horse, they're actually a part of one body. They sort of fall into two pieces, and then purple flame sort of envelops them, and they shoot. And he screams as he's sort of, and then there's like a gust of wind that sort of bellows out from where he is, in a pulse. You guys are no longer in this sort of arena realm, but back in the mortal world. And there's nothing but the smell of sulfur and lavender that remains.
Is there nothing on the ground from where he fell?
There's just a purple light that's fading.
Ooh. I'll examine it.
Do you stick your finger in it?
No.
No, I don't touch it. He just hears it as
quick, touch it. The power could be yours.
Oh, my goodness.
And then Ix disappears. Ix's voice fades away.
Go ahead and touch it.
But yeah, that's you. You can examine it as it slowly fades. Cooper Ring suddenly sits up, having been meandering by the bushes somewhere, coming back. But everybody's sort of. As a whole, the orcs are kind of confused as far as what happened. The chieftains and the other chieftains have moved from the front of the vanguard back now to see what has happened, But the wounds you have received are there and real, though.
Well,
clean the sword and sheath it. And
my sword's probably burned clean, but I'm like. Baylor just sheaves the blade and goes, I did not expect that to happen.
That was amazing.
It was the specter. It appeared and moved to attack me. I had to defend myself.
You think I really weakened them for you?
Challenge realm.
Yes.
Chief Melodok just kind of looks and goes, it is to be expected that you are the wielder of Umdurum. They would send agents to stop you, to try and wrest it from you.
Aren't you so glad that you're strong enough to hold it?
I'm very happy to have this blade right now. As I smited this creature, I always was confident that I could take it. I want to thank you all for help, though, because I probably couldn't have done it without you. Now look at the orc, and I said, thank you, you probably saved my life.
I am close to protect you.
He wasn't even like surprised. I sliced the thing in half. Like, oh my god,
that was pretty impressive. You don't know why he's not really. Yeah, I mean, the chief is pretty impressed that you slew whatever it was and drove it off.
That's right. Lean into the chief didn't say he has his good days.
Well, this is improving my impression.
So the bodyguard, what's his name?
Usig,
you fought bravely and with valor.
I was a given assignment.
And you could have completed it with less effort. I'm impressed.
Who would do that?
someone with less honor than you.
I murder humans.
And much behind it, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, and no, like, but if Dane's like, he'll put out a hand.
He'll put out his hand.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, he got a predator handshake, okay?
Okay. He'd be handshaking.
That took me a second, Tyr. I am so sorry. I get it now exactly what you're talking about, right? The whole, like, clasping of the hands, right, from the movie Predator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's not what went through my head the first time. I was like,
"What?
What is a predator handshake? It's like a,
it's like talking.
Do you know the secret handshake?
Something? Like, oh God! No!
What is this?
So,
I will refer you to Tyr's character from Sex, Drugs, and Saving Throws. Yeah.
So, what's...
I'm sorry. You guys, I apologize.
I only tried to sleep with several women who he saved. That's not right. I disavow everything about
Predator that. Handshake could be the name of the episode.
So, having vanquished the Demon Knight, and because Quivering will spend his willpower, I guess, healing up those who need it.
We can take a stretch rest, right?
Or
we're on the march.
Don't want to take a rest. Okay. They want to continue moving, and before the day breaks.
Right. Well, we could take a round rest for the willpower points, right?
You could. No, not for willpower, but just for the hit point tips, I think.
What does that give us? D6?
I think. Let me check. I think it's D6.
Yeah, D6 is willpower for a round rest.
3, 4, 5. Okay, so I'm only a little hurt now.
Yeah, so they're only... but they want to try and make it to the Mirror Lake by daybreak so they can... set up camp, eat, and set up patrols.
So if we wait like a minute, we get D6 back willpower? I've never really...
Yeah, is that a round rest is... you basically take no action, you get a D6 willpower back.
It's supposed to be like the middle of combat, but we've been using it out of combat, too.
Okay.
It works basically the same.
Yeah.
Oh, 5. I get all but one back.
I'm good.
All right. Half my hit points are gone, but I'm all right.
You didn't need those.
They're just extra.
We will rest up in the morning once we've arrived at camp.
It's fine.
So,
I've got to make my notes. Hold on.
Just smears of blood.
Just smears of blood. So, with the charge, you guys continue marching on.
Purple realm.
Fortunately, that is no further encounters with anything unsightly. There is one, goblin scout that comes in who informs, basically, it comes through the ranks. You find out that apparently he did see some knights on the road across the river, but that was about it.
Oh, the Knights of the Flame Imperishable.
That's what it sounds like from the description.
Thank goodness they're on that side of the river.
Mm-hmm. As the night gives way and dawn begins breaking, in truth, in the Misty Valley, it's hard to tell, just that the mist gets lighter and some of the ground mist begins to slightly evaporate or recede back to the corners. You guys reach the Misty Lake. The Mirror Lake. The startling thing about the Mirror Lake at first, as you arrive into the valley where it is one, there is no clouds and no mist above it. So the sun is blazing on the lake itself.
Mm.
But the clouds seem to almost hug where the shore is, and then around a single mountain, a single island that sits in the lake. Its surface does not move like water. It just sits still and mirror-like.
That's not natural.
I don't have a good feeling about this.
The chieftain walks back and goes, "Nothing is natural about this. This is the sorcery and magic of the Dragon Emperor."
I toss a rock into the water.
It splashes like normal, but the water almost sort of calms quicker than normal is a thing, rather rapidly and settles.
Next time, throw yourself in, fool of an elf. No, I'm sorry.
Are there any legends about the Mirror Lake or a boat or a boatman?
Well, there's legends.
Like a myths and legends?
Yes. Though the Orc chieftain will point over towards some ruins. We've camped there before, and there is a boat that should be there.
All right. Well, I'll be looking in my tomes while we're going over there.
Okay.
I rolled a 3, so yes.
All right. Middle Lake. Middle Lake's known by people who know stuff and the things. All right.
It's like Crystal Lake.
Funny you should say that.
Ouch.
Mirror Lake basically does not have any cloud cover, which is very odd. But it was the prison created by Eladane, the dragon emperor, for Azarkoth, who was ever living. So he could not necessarily be killed and slain, but could be put in a stupor, like sleep and imprisoned. And so he had him sort of like in this sort of torpor. He was placed in, and as far as he was in this a never-ending sleep that he would be in, and then he assigned and sort of had his sorcerers create a effectively equivalent undying, undying or undead, in some circles, depending on interpretations of guards to protect the tomb, to protect him, to prevent him from ever leaving his prison, to protect his guards, to secure him on the island and never to leave. And then he had them, create a powerful spell which create a corrosive mist that swirls all around the island, which is particularly dangerous to Azarkoth. So if he gets in it, he will decay rapidly and be destroyed, though it will kill anyone eventually on that island who is on there. It'll just dissolve them away or kill them, So it's designed to be the perfect prison for someone who's going to live forever and yet have guards that will keep him in his tomb forever. And that was kind of the thing it was done. It was set up. Since then, there has been, of course, over 700 years have passed since, all of this has transpired. Azarkoth is believed to have woken up, but been able to, and you're almost confirmed that with the notes you got from the blood bats and the blood demon you encountered in the temple, and the messages, is that apparently he has awakened, but cannot leave the island. He can only send messages and project thoughts, and in that sense. So he's able to summon servants, or maybe possibly influence things like the mist that's in the veil is probably believed to be his doing as opposed to anything else, as opposed to a natural phenomenon. And the orcs will even confirm that this valley didn't have any mist. They, even though they controlled the valley, the mist came later, and they sort of took advantage of the situation, but then realized where it came from, and then it became their imperative to keep him forever entombed. From expeditions that they had in the past gone down that survived, it is, there are undead that patrol the shores, and they are not there to prevent Azarkoth from leaving, but is believed that they're under his control now. That all those who were left to protect us from him, all those who were left to guard against his rising up, who were undead themselves, have now fallen under his sway. And because he is the chief servant of Sothmog, the three-tongued, demon prince, he's also able to possibly influence or call demons to him, which could be on the island or nearby or even in the waters.
So he has an inside tongue, an outer tongue, and an outer tongue?
Exactly. And that's how Sothmog works. Three tongues for all the places.
The shocker.
So, that is what you know about the Mirror Lake and the Isle of Mist, which sits there.
I feel like our procession along the aisle, the shore leading to this fortress is like one of those like tours. Like Dane is like regaling us. It's like he's like happy. He's like reading. He's telling us all this history. He's excited to share it with us. It's just like this.
He's totally forgotten that we're on a quest to go fight an undead. This is fantastic.
But the one thing you are aware of is that there are no particular legends of anything dangerous living in the lake, or anyone being attacked by something that lives in the lake.
Okay.
Good. it's odd properties.
All the people who've encountered it have died.
Yeah, there's that. The odd properties as far as how it is a mirrored lake and maintains that appears to be something that was a magical enchantment of some sort, but that's strictly for the visual nature of it.
Okay. So we'll head to the ruins.
So the ruins, you know, to be, well, at least they were called, you know, they're just, their general name is you know, is Lekstad. They consist, they basically, it was a thriving community that was there during, you know, during the reign of the Dragon Emperor. Because after all, it was a prison, it was only the island was bad, so people could live near the lake and so forth and everything else. So it did thrive at its time, but now it merely is just consisting of, you know, of stone foundations and a few crumbling walls. But despite its dilapidated condition, there is obviously, there's evidence of recent occupation in a few buildings. And near the stone docks, there is a boat that has been pulled onto the shorelines. Evidence of abandoned campfires and some debris.
Any sigils like we found in the tower?
You can give me some searches, I guess, a spot hidden and maybe some...
All right, I'll give you a spot hidden.
Well, they believe me that I'm going to keep an eye on the island itself to see if I can see any movement or any signs of activity.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are no sigils on the actual boat. You do find occasionally, and with among, you know, on the stones, you do see the crossed meat hooks belonging to Maladuk's tribe, representing the alliance of various orc tribes. So apparently some expedition had come to this area. But that's it, as far as evidence. They, you know, look around the area and then break up into patrols to begin moving around the lake, at least moving on this side of the shore. But Maladuk will tell you that, you know, it's possible that this was an encampment used by the Expeditionary Force number PK-3. The boat does look, it looks, you know, and fairly, it looks fairly new, but it has sustained some damage.
Peggy, like it, is it seaworthy?
Well, why don't you give me a crafting roll or something? Or
I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a...
You have a crafting
skill. I have a crafting skill at 7. I can still look at it, I guess.
I have seamanship at 3.
Sean, what's your crafting skill?
17.
Oh, I thought you said 7. I was like, isn't that your whole class?
You know what? Since he's not, since this isn't his crafting, I would like to spend the 3 willpower points to use adaptive and use my bookish knowledge about reading books to examine this boat.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, I'm assuming out of whatever, it's under all my skills. I rolled a 12.
So. Okay. Yes, it appears that the boat is fairly new and is nicely crafted and nicely put together. The damage that is sustained appears to be sabotage. Like it was sabotaged. Based on your crafting role, you can determine that. You think that, you know, the boat could be repaired. If you scrounge around and find some things, and it'd take about a ship to do so, but you need the proper tools in which to get the thing repaired, and you do not see them present immediately. You probably need to try and search.
According to the Big Book of Boats by Sir Flotchalot,
Sir Flotchalot, we need, the winded.
Yes, the windful, some called him. We need a chisel, we need some pine resin, we need some wood shavings, and a plug of an appropriate size. And we don't have any of those things.
And the tools in which to create them, yes.
And the tools in which to create them. Does anyone turn to the orcs? Do you know where we might find such tools?
I hear we have a smith in a party who might be able to craft some of the tools.
Kuthok, one of the chiefs, says PK-3 would have had a craftsman with them and would have been able to find those tools. After all, this boat was built by them.
But it was sabotaged by someone else.
The tools must be here.
They would have no need to take them if the return team brought, basically they drop people off and then come back here, mm-hmm. but the return group is not here.
Maybe we could track them.
Well, you look around.
Everyone turns to Siggy.
Yeah, we will search for evidence of the previous party.
I'll give you assistance with bushcraft.
All right.
So are we doing spot hidden or bushcraft?
You can do spot hidden as well.
I did a 2 and a 2.
Failed.
All right, Dargle, try the and floor dice.
Somewhere. I succeeded with the bushcraft.
It appears that they were, like, the party was here. That actual campfire was probably theirs. That's the one thing you should know about orcs, about all Nightkin. We need to eliminate some misconceptions that may be, you know, grabbing, maybe pulled from other games. One, Nightkin are not inherently evil. They're just inherently distrustful from previous.
But Karen said.
Yeah, that's Karen. Yeah, according to Karen. And one thing that's really interesting is, no, they cannot see in the dark. They only just take damage from the sun during the day when exposed to sunlight, which is why they normally have, you know, most of the underground, you know, sort of subterranean civilization, but do not, you know, they don't, they can't see in the night. So there'll be campfires. They have torches. They have lanterns. Just so you know. So in case you're wondering, that's why they're asking if you had lights. So you could walk on the road too and not get lost. So that was the thing. But yeah, it is evidence that they actually weren't camped here, but it appears that something drove them out, and yet you cannot find physical evidence of, like, you know, like the footprints or whatever. They fled. But whatever they fled from, you cannot find footprints for it.
Maybe it was those bats.
Water in the deep.
Bats.
Remember those big bats?
And you do, yeah, you did, and you did see a flock that things that you do not think are seagulls near the island.
Yeah, so watching the island, do we see any indication of their comings and goings, or is it too day for them?
Bat guano.
It's 2 day. You see a few that went down, but you don't see very many. But the island is covered with a sort of corrosive mist. But there's obviously what appears to be the upper part appears to be clear of it. If anything, there is almost even a spire on the top of it that seems to be free of the mist entirely.
Always fucking towers.
Well, that's not really a tower. It's more of a...
Well, spires, pointy things.
Pointy things on tight places.
To be fair, Bob's Towers is very affordable.
They've got some fine towers.
There's a great deal of compensation in this valley.
Yeah. There is. But nobody made spot hidden. You're correct?
Nope. I made it initially when we got to the island.
Yeah, that was just a check. That was a short, yeah. But you check it. You can give me an eight. Now the thing is, now you have something you look for, so you just...
Well, I assisted with bushcraft, so I assume I couldn't roll again.
Yeah.
Dark got a 20 and a 19.
I mean, if there's something that I can focus in
something
on,
that
I will certainly...
is now lost forever. Thank you, Dark.
Yeah, if I can roll again, I'll roll again.
So are these the tools that kicks them in the water?
Yeah. I know, I'm just walking around looking to knock them in the ocean.
I rolled a 5.
It takes a while, but it's actually in deep in one of the ruins. And there's some, you know, it's like there's a stone. You notice it because basically the stones look disturbed.
Okay.
On the floor, and you pull it up and open up, and there appears to be a sort of, you would call it basically, it's almost like a pewter box with no lid that has various shipwright tools in there.
Strange.
And when you touch them, or do you?
Yeah.
That seems of course
like,
he does.
That seems like he something Dane would do.
Yeah,
Dane would do it. He also put that ring on.
There is a chill that fills this small part of the ruin. And the hairs on the back of your neck rise up. And that familiar echoing that you heard from the litter mound now seems to fill your ears as the restless dead once again have been disturbed.
See you next week.
See you next
week. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Malcolm.
Yeah. Thanks, Malcolm.
Yeah, we didn't die.
I was very surprised.
Well,
but not disappointed.
When somebody brings out the pocket nuke that he has and...
Hi, this is Matt, the co-host of the Advanced Age Role-Playing Gamers podcast, and you've been listening to our latest actual play, Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, using the Dragonbane TTRPG from Free League Publishing, based on the classic Swedish role-playing game, Drakkar Demoner. If you like what you hear, please follow, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and anywhere else you find podcasts. We also really appreciate feedback and chatting with folks, so feel free to tweet us, comment on our YouTube, or leave us a review so we can reach even more people. You can also visit our website at www.theaarpgs.com, where you can read more about the cast, listen to old episodes, and even shop our store for cool geek chic merchandise. This story features Malcolm and Nathan as co-GMs. Malcolm will also be playing the role of Karin, a halfling bard. Nathan will be playing the role of Brains, a wolfkin thief. Our players for this story are Tyr as Dane Ringson, a human scholar. Sean as Baelor Banefire, a dwarven smith. Chris as Sigyn, an elven huntress. Anthony as Corgan Stonehammer, a halfling fighter. And Tim as Quiverring, the Mallard Mage. Character artwork created by Nemesis to Anthony Cupo and friend of the show, Jody P. Schaefer, whose work you may recognize from Metacopolix, Marikari, Megas XLR, and MTV's Downtown. Contact him when the time is right. You'll know how and when. Music licensed through Dark Fantasy Studios and SoundCue. Sound effects by Nathan, using Krotos Weaponizer, Studio, and Dehumanizer, using libraries from Boom Library, SoundCue, Krotos, and his own recordings. So thank you again for taking time to sit down with us at our gaming table. And until next time, remember, you're never too old to roll.